Well, welcome everyone to my talk. I'm going to present a bit of data I've been from a project I've been working on for the last couple of years, evaluating pyroplowing on irrigated soils. The title of my project or presentation is Soil and Crop Responses to Subsoil Loosening by Pyroplowing. Before I get too far into it, I got to introduce you to pyroplowing. Some of you may or may not know what pyroplowing is, and I have a short video that depicts pyroplowing. So pyroplowing is a subsoil loosening technique, a form of tillage. It loosens the soil to a depth of 18 inches, and it has a 18-inch spacing. It's effective at alleviating any structural issues the soil might have or any hard pan layers within the soil. As you can see, it has very little disturbance to the soil surface, making it favorable for our kind of agriculture in Saskatchewan. So the objectives of my study is to determine if pyroplow is an effective tool for reducing soil density and increasing infiltration in irrigated fields in Saskatchewan. Evaluation of the effects of soil profile nitrate content and measuring the plant response to pyroplowing, looking at both grain and straw yield. So we set up three sites looking at different soil types, one on a mollisol soil, a vertisol soil, and a solanetic mollisol, looking at seasonality, fall and spring, timing of tillage, and the study was set up in a randomized complete block design. So we had a control and five treatments. In the fall, we looked at the normal tillage with 45 centimeter working depth and a row spacing of 45 centimeters, and we looked at a shallow treatment where we only tilled a foot down. This had a lot of soil disruption and there was a lot of soil mixing, so it was more like a tillage operation versus when you saw the video there, relatively little soil disturbance when we went to the deeper depth. And then we tried a wide treatment where we left it every other shank out of the ground. And in the spring, we repeated the wide treatment and the normal treatment. My site was located near Bercy, Saskatchewan. This is located close to Lake Diefenbaker, where it is irrigated out of. There's approximately 101,000 acres of irrigated land surrounding Lake Diefenbaker. And the purpose of this project is to try and improve the efficiency and increase yields within the irrigated cropping systems. Looking at my results, I'll start with kind of the direct result of pyroplowing, which is changes to the soil physical conditions, and then we'll look at some of the indirect changes, looking at changes in soil nitrate. Back for a second here. I have a few pictures that you'll see in the top right-hand corner. Evidence of a hard pan layer. It may be a little hard to see. Right about there, you can see there's evidence of hard pan within our sites. And then there's just a few more pictures of running the penetrograph, which indexes to a 2-centimeter cone to give us the force required to push into the soil. This is important because axial root growth is only 850 kilopascals to 1500 kilopascals is the amount of force that axial root growth can. So if you look at our graphs here around the 1.5 mark, that's where it's really limiting the root growth, and we'll see less roots. So the black line is the control, followed by the colored lines are our yellow is fall and Purple is the spring treatment. And you can see that we had a decrease in penetration resistance around the 0.2 megapascals by our paraplow treatment, observed both in the mollyskull and in the vertiskull sites. We looked at bulk density. To measure bulk density, we used a truck-mounted punch and punched a soil core. We segmented that soil core into 15-centimeter increments. And from those increments, we took moisture and weighed them to get an indication of a bulk density. So when we looked at the bulk densities in the spring, on May 20th, you'll see that there was a significant decrease in bulk density from 0 to 30 centimeters. But then when we measured it again in the fall, 5 months later, there was no significant difference between our treatments. So this means that in our sort of farming system, in irrigated soils, that it may not persist beyond one growing season. And this is important because the subsoil tillage is quite costly to impose. In July, we did some infiltration measurements using a double ring infiltrometer. We used a simplified falling head technique adapted from Bagarello et al. 2004 and got an indication of the field saturated hydraulic conductivity. And you can see at the mollyskull site, we had increased infiltration in both our spring and our fall paraplow relative to the control. And in the vertiskull, we did not see that same trend. We saw that the fall treatment had less of an effect, and the spring treatment we saw increased infiltration. Now to some of the indirect changes. We looked at nitrate at intervals of 0 to 30 centimeters and 30 to 60 centimeters and used a 2-molar KCl extraction to get a determination of nitrate. And any of the observed differences you'll see will be attributed to losses in N or changes. First, looking at the year we had in 2010, if you look at the 10-year average for rainfall in May, which is the green column, you'll see that regularly our area will receive approximately 45 millimeters of precipitation. But in 2010, we had more than double that with close to 140 millimeters of rain. So it was quite a kind of an unusual year to be conducting field research, but it was the year we had. But this did give us an opportunity to evaluate nitrate and kind of excessive losses that we would see. And if we looked at the nitrate at the Solonetsk site, which we only got data in at this time in the spring, because beyond that point it actually was flooded out because the rain continued into June and July, you'll see that the general trend is that paraplowing increased the retention of nitrate relative to control. This may be attributed to increased aeration due to the paraplow, leading to less denitrification. You'll also note that you'll find the nitrate further in the soil profile compared to looking at the the next site here, where we'll see that the nitrate is located further up in the profile. In the 0 to 30 centimeter section, you'll see that we kind of saw the opposite effect where the urea was applied in the spring, where the soil seemed to retain less nitrate relative to the control. And there could be many mechanisms for this. You'll notice from our infiltration that paraplowing increased infiltration. It could be due to denitrification, but we never had a mechanism in place to capture the exact cause for losses in the system. Looking at crop yield, we harvested the plots around the same time as the farmers would consider swathing. We took 3 square meter plots per plot, and took it back to the lab and got a determination of grain yield and straw yield. Looking at the Molly Sol, in 2010, the farmer grew hard red spring wheat on the site. And you'll see that paraploughing really had a limited effect on crop yield. And the same sort of trends were observed when we looked at the Vertisol site with canola being grown on that site. The one thing to point out is that the fall shallow treatment seemed to have a negative effect on yield, and that could be either to disturb seed bed or the reduced nitrogen. So to conclude, paraplowing reduces soil density and increased infiltration, but persistence is questionable. Variable impacts on soil profile nitrate may be related to effects of paraplowing on physical conditions and water relations, and under irrigated conditions, paraplowing has a limited effect on crop yield. I would like to acknowledge the technician, Corey Fatisher, and the rest of Team Chinos for their assistance with the project, the cooperators, Randy Bergstrom and Roy King, for managing the sites, and Saskatchewan Agriculture Development Fund for funding the project. Does anyone have any questions?
Questions, Brett?
Yeah, paraplowing is a form of subsoiling. It's kind of a non-inversion subsoiling, so it would be a form of primary tillage.
And second thing, probably it would have been better to compare paraplowing with a mold for employing all these.
Yeah, that would be interesting, but generally the farmers in our area have adapted a no-till farming system, and so mulberry plowing probably wouldn't be readily adapted by the farmers. So when we're looking at ways to alleviate soil structural issues in the soil, we're looking for kind of a no-till solution.
When you did your infiltration, did you locate specifically over the slit or to the side, or did you take into consideration where you were in the field?
Okay, yeah. Looking at the infiltration, I just presented the double ring data. We did two forms of infiltration. We did a double ring data, and then we did a large ring, which would have encompassed the whole tillage area, and the results were quite similar. So I guess there was no effect of where the spacing was. Okay, so the paraplowing took place around late April, and we didn't do the infiltration till July. We'd planned to do kind of the infiltration around kind of right after seed emergence, but it had been so wet that we didn't have a chance to get out into the field. So July was when we did the infiltration, and that kind of coincided with about the time that the farmers started turning on the irrigation pivots, because that was when there was the demand for water.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike.